This afternoon we open the Word of God again in the Gospel according to Luke 24. Normally in the afternoon's worship service we have our catechism preaching, and we were in the series on the Lord's Supper. But because of this special feast day, I have woven into the sermon also aspects regarding the Lord's Supper, just to keep that momentum of our series of the previous weeks. But however, this afternoon, our focal point we find in Luke 24. We read the verses 1 through 12 as the context, and our text will be the verses 6b through 8. Luke 24, verse 1, this is the word of God. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So the focal point will be 6b. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. That's our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. The Lord has risen. Risen indeed, people used to say on Easter morning. Thus they would remind each other, incite one another to rejoicing. They would go out and tell others what Easter is all about. Do you do so too? As our young people did with distributing flowers and giving a message together with that, inviting people to the worship service? Tell others about that Jesus, that by Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he proved that death was conquered? Or are we afraid that they will shrug their shoulders and pass? Although, when you ask people whether they want to live on in eternity and need to hear your story, they might stop and listen. No, then you can't make them believe. They won't come to faith because you believe. They come to faith when you explain to them from God's Word why Jesus rose. They will need to hear the Word. Just as the women did in our scripture passage, they needed to be reminded of Jesus' words, of the words of the prophets. Like the angels, we need to be messengers of the good tidings of Jesus' life. Namely, that the Son of Man had to be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. It had to happen that way, beloved, for God's Son had said so. He had testified to what he had seen with the Father. Life. The life God has in himself and that he, Jesus, had to obtain for you and share with you. On Easter morning, these women are awakened from their unspiritual doze. They were looking for a dead Jesus, as we saw this morning. They couldn't find him because they should have been seeking the living Lord. Likewise today, God wants to wake up the living dead by the testimony of his Spirit and by the word of Christ. The Spirit has to remove much unbelief and doubt. The gospel of the risen Lord isn't so easy to understand, but that's not because the gospel is so hard, but it is due to man's hardness of heart. All people are spiritually dead. They are dead through their sins and trespasses, lacking the knowledge of God who creates life and gives eternal life. They lack every understanding of eternal life, just staying at the level of a better life hereafter, or going to a better place for everyone as far as they are concerned. That's why they can't say yes to the gospel of Easter just like that. They need to hear it, be reminded of it, and be moved to faith in it, in order to have eternal life. And so do we, time and again. Hence, I proclaim Easter, the day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, as day of remembrance, our first point, as day of commemoration, our second point, as day of celebration, our third point. So I summarize the message of our text as follows. Easter, the day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, a day of remembrance, a day of commemoration, and as day of celebration. So first of all, Easter as day of remembrance. Central in our text of this afternoon, brothers and sisters, is the call to remember. Remembrance is at the heart of this word. For us, that's an important aspect in our faith too. In fact, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do so with Christ calling us to do this in remembrance of him. We remember the bitter and shameful death of Christ on the cross. Yes, we actually cherish it. Well, today we remember his resurrection from the dead. Today is Remembrance Day. Then I'm well aware that if I use the name Remembrance Day, we are inclined to think more of the dead than of the living. Calling Easter a day of remembrance, we could easily be accused of doing the same as those women did, seeking the dead Jesus instead of the living one. The only thing that can prevent us from doing so, though, is by remembering him properly, remembering his words, and by understanding them. Well, that's what the women had not done. And so Easter became to them first a day of remembrance of the dead. Now don't misunderstand me, beloved. When the angels reminded these women of Jesus' words, which he had spoken while he was still with them in Galilee, it was not because they did not remember at all. Their remembrance was of the wrong kind. A remembering of the past that had come to an end in Jesus' death. They want to preserve the past by embalming Jesus' body with the spices and perfumes they had prepared. They want to preserve his body, the body of the man they loved so much, so deeply. They remembered him in the words he spoke of love and peace, in the hands that healed, in the mouth that encouraged. Their hearts and minds are filled with memories of the times they followed him in Galilee, where he preached and healed and did miracles, where he set the sick and the demon-possessed free. Some of these women had followed him for months, for years even. No wonder they were filled with memories, remembering those days in Galilee and the journey to Jerusalem, his triumphant entry. They remembered how they had thought, will he now establish his reign of love and peace and justice? Especially since they have seen this all come to a painful end on this past Friday night. They were moved in their love to do what they could to preserve him. Preserve his memory. They had been there when they crucified him. And they had seen how he died. They had followed Joseph of Arimathea, who had taken Jesus' body and laid it in his own new tomb. It's too bad the Sabbath had come in between. Otherwise, they would have taken care of him right away. Now they had to wait. But they were ready to ensure that he would not be forgotten. The remembrance of him would stay alive. Every year in the time to come, they would come here and celebrate this as day of remembrance. That's why they had taken spices and perfumes. You do that with a loved one who has died. That's how you ensure this remembrance. Hold on to the past and resist man's mortality, man's decay, and yes, man's death. That's how we remember, keeping our memories alive. That's how the Egyptians did by their mummification, their portraits and their days of remembrance for thousands of years. That's how the communists did it with Lenin's body in his mausoleum at the Red Square. Is that what Easter is all about, beloved? A day of remembrance by keeping his memories alive? By living in the spirit of Jesus? Is that how we use the administration of the Lord's Supper? A day of remembrance in the traditional sense? Is that what our faith is all about? Remembering a crucified Jesus, living in the past and reliving his suffering and death for us and in our place? Yes, that's how these women remember him and wish to preserve him and have come to embalm him. That's a sad affair. That will be a sad occasion every following year, as we know from experience, when we remember a loved one only for the fact that he or she has died, has fallen away and become part of the past. But that's not what Easter may be, though. That's not how we may use it as a day of remembrance either. Hence, God the Father has sent his angels to correct them in this approach, in their intent. Then he does not only show them an open grave, an empty tomb, he also places his angels there, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning, to teach them the proper way of remembrance. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They ask. He is not here. He has risen. So what do they mean, beloved? These angels saying, why do you look for the living among the dead? We are inclined to think, to read the living as the one who has come to life in the meantime, because he has just risen from the dead. That would be the case if they had told the women first that Jesus had been raised and after that been called the living. It's the other way around, though. They don't say Jesus has risen and so he is the living one again, but they say he is the living one. And that's why he has risen. Yes, they add, they could have known because he told you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I am the living one, he has said, and whoever believes in me will live, for I am the living one. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, also of the living Jesus, who had manifested himself in his battle against death and the realm of the dead in all its appearances and evidences. That's how you should remember him. And not doing so, you deny that reality when you continue to see him and to seek him with the dead. Did they want to honor him? Ensure true remembrance of him? Good. But don't do this at his grave, in the realm of the dead, for the grave could not hold him who is the living one. And so Easter becomes a day of commemoration. Our second point. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. The angels remind them of the words the Lord Jesus had spoken in Luke 9, verse 22, and Luke 18, verse 33. That's not a reference, therefore, to words from the Old Testament, which are here fulfilled, but words Jesus himself had spoken at an earlier stage in his ministry. Just as in Luke 9, however, it is striking here too that the full emphasis is on the word must. The Son of Man must be delivered, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. In Greek, this word denotes that it's all a matter of God's plan, which he is working out in and through Jesus, our Savior. Then implicitly, Jesus' words were a proclamation of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 2. Isaiah 53, verse 5 and verse 12. The way the angels phrase their quotation, however, shows that Isaiah's prophecy and Jesus' words have been fulfilled in the way of his being delivered to sinful men and killed by way of the cross. It all happened because this is the way God had planned it. It had to go via the hellish agony of cross and his death. Yet, in order that it would end up in the glorious victory over death in his resurrection from the dead on the third day. Then they remembered his words. This is not a moment, brothers and sisters, of remembrance in the way of turning into yourself and cherishing the good memories you have of the past. This is a moment of commemoration, a moment of calling to mind the mighty deeds of the Lord, the way they had learned to do it so well in the feast of Passover. Remember how you were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord has delivered you with an outstretched arm and his mighty hands. These women too have to learn to commemorate. Come together. Together calling to remembrance the words of the Lord to see how they have been fulfilled completely. Not as events of the past, but as events that have their continued impact on the present. God's word is sure. In his promises and prophecies, you can put your trust. They will be fulfilled, because they must be. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not something new, something surprising, an unexpected phenomenon, something that's unrelated to the work of salvation in general, to what went before this. No, it is in this way that God our Father realizes his work of salvation. The salvation of life by his Son, the living one. Everyone who has his word, hears his word, and knows his word, and submits to this word in faith and obedience, will share in this work of salvation and life. It's with this word, beloved, that the angels are able to reach these women. Reach and change their hearts of these women. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ wants to reach the hearts of his disciples. And that's how he calls people to repentance and belief. It was when Peter remembered Jesus' words, "Before the cock crows, you will have denied me thrice," that he broke down, repented, and changed. It was by his word that the Lord Jesus opened the eyes of the men of Emmaus later on that day. He showed them that the whole Bible reveals that what happened to the Son of Man had to happen. That's when their hearts were burning within them. Hence, that's what Easter is all about. It's a day of commemoration, a day in which we put the facts in order, remember together the words that were spoken, and see it all in the framework of history. That's the kind of commemoration we have in the celebration of the Lord's Supper also. When you realize that the whole history of salvation hinges on that one moment of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the living one. He is our living Lord, who came to obtain life for us and shares life with us. Yes, this celebration is at the same time the feast of remembrance of him who was dead, and the commemoration of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. He gave the Lord's Supper in order that he would have communion with us, living communion. He gave the Lord's Supper in order to give us a foretaste of the eternal communion, of the newness of life. Easter, my brother and my sister, is the meeting of God and man. life met with death. The way forgiveness met with sin at Golgotha. God met with death so that death would be destroyed. Then you don't need spices and perfumes any longer, as the women thought they needed, because they approached the gate of death. Yet they had come to the gate of heaven. That's the gospel. God's word conquers sin and death. It had to go that way. It has to be that way. Therefore, why do you seek the living among the dead? The word of God and the work of God is a way of life. God is the God of the living. Jesus told his audience when he spoke about the resurrection and about Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. That's the gospel for those who die in the Lord today. God is the God of a living L. Vandervliet, of a living Jack Vandershaf, of a living Luke Skipper, and so forth. For Jesus lives, and those who are his are living with him. That's what our commemoration should focus on. Our life does not run stuck in death and the grave. Thanks to the power of the living Christ, we may belong to the living, not to the dead. The words, "Whoever believes in me will live, even when he has died," these words become glorious words on this day of Easter. This is the gospel, brothers and sisters. These grieving women heard on that Sunday morning. It is the gospel of the resurrection, of the victory of the living Christ. When the grave broke open, the stone was rolled away, and the risen Savior left the tomb, our new life broke through. Indeed, for it happened by our mediator, our Redeemer, the Savior of our life. He did it for God, according to the plan of God, in order that we would be saved from our sins and raised to newness of life. That's how the women had to come from a day of remembrance to a day of commemoration, realizing what effects his resurrection would have on their lives. That's how this moment of remembrance has become a day of commemoration when they went away to share the good news with the other disciples. That's how this day of Christ's resurrection has to impact our life also. Our thinking, our acting, seeing how God is at work with his word to raise us from the death to sin to a life that is lived for him again. Easter, therefore, is a day of commemoration on which we remember together the mighty deeds of our God and repent and believe that we have life by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Then, as the administration of the Lord's Supper goes from remembrance to commemoration to celebration, so we see the remembrance of Christ's resurrection go via commemoration to celebration. Our third point, Easter, as day of celebration. Yes, indeed, beloved, we celebrate Easter today, but also every Lord's Day as the day of Christ's resurrection. Yes, every day we celebrate as a day of life. We begin a new week, every week again, remembering Christ's work of salvation, commemorating his victory over life over death, of forgiveness over sin, we do so by listening together to the living preaching of the gospel. With that word, our living Savior sent the women on their way because he was seeking his disciples in his love and bring them together around him, their living Lord. With that word, he will send his apostles into the world, because it will be the foundation on which he will build his congregation, the church of all times and all places. That's not a word from the past, a word of matters from long ago, but the word of our living Lord. It is a word for today, a word for the world of today also. Our risen Savior uses that word to direct us in our life today. A word by which he explains our life of today and comforts us. He proclaims that word with a view to our salvation from sin, our salvation by the forgiveness of sins. Today, we celebrate Easter, beloved. And every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper in word and sign, we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of Christ's dear Son, Jesus Christ. That's not just a day of remembrance, but also of celebration of the power of his sacrifice for our life today. By his Holy Spirit, he will work in our hearts so that we will entrust ourselves more and more to him, our risen Savior, our living Lord. That's what he promised. And that's what he will do as well. By his words, he will make me wise to salvation. He is able to do so, and willing also. As in his love, he sent the women to the other disciples in order to change them from puzzled, bewildered, and unbelieving people who thought the women's story was ridiculous, changing them to apostles of the gospel. Then we too will have to listen to that word, though, and live through him and in him and for him, lest we lose our first love, grieve his spirit, and deny our living Savior. He is here, beloved, our living Savior. And he works here in our congregation. He also wants to work here in our community, our town, so that people come to faith when you share the word and explain why the Lord has died and risen again. He is not a Lord from long ago and from far away, but he is the Lord who is the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. Alas, many people listen poorly to what God has revealed in his word. God's Son came to bear witness to the light of the new day, the morning which dawns for everyone who believes in him. Why is it that so many people ignore the word? How come so many continue to struggle on their own? God the Father has told us, you cannot do it on your own. You don't have to do it by yourself either. God has sent his Son. He gave him power to lay down his life and power to take it up. That's what we celebrate. And it means that we as well can and may rise from sin, rise to a new life in which we live for God today and tomorrow and all the days of our life, celebrating as we do the life of our risen Savior. Amen.